chosen a reading today. I had about 5 minutes to make a decision this morning. I'm fairly confident there's enough in this passage to draw from. We'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and just a few verses there from verses 24 through to 29. And when you found your place, Gospel of Matthew, when you found your place, please stand in reverence for God's word. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The pastor always tells me that I need to be instant in season and out, and he certainly put that to the test this morning. We might just pray just before we start. Lord, just pray that you'll be with me this morning, Lord, as unprepared as I am, Lord. Just pray that that you've put enough in me, Lord, that I might be able to bring a word and a message to my brethren today, Lord. I just pray that you would be with them, Lord, and just give them an open heart, Lord, and Lord, that they would take something away from today's message, Lord. We just thank you for them, Lord, and just pray that you'll bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. It's handy having a phone sometimes. It enables me just to jot a few things down and to have a sermon outline ready at times like these. But from this passage we see that that a life built on Christ is wise, and that a life built on Christ stands, and that a life built on Christ or not on Christ is foolish, and that a life not built on Christ falls. Quite often within the Gospels and the Bible as a whole, we see these contrasts, and it's in seeing these contrasts that we're able to, to make a decision and hopefully choose the better way. First point here, that a life built on Christ is wise. Jesus commends the person who builds their life on him and especially on his word, and more importantly says that doeth them. He's likened unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jesus is that rock, and this is what he's alluding to, and certainly there's a degree of a stability when we do that. In the book of Corinthians it tells us that there's no other foundation, except that which is Christ, and as God desires to build our lives, it's on him that our life is built, and upon his word. We see here the importance of being in his word. It's not something that we're able to receive by the process of osmosis. We actually have to read his word and to hide his word in our hearts, especially in times of trial. And that's where wisdom will come to the fore. We know from the book of James, when we ask for wisdom, he upbraideth us not. He doesn't criticise us, but gives to us liberally. And part of that process is having that foundation on his word to be able to discern, right from wrong. In Hebrews, another one of our favourite texts, it says, by reason of use, that we are able to discern good and evil. You know, it's something that we should always pray for, you know, is wisdom. We never know when those storms of life are going to come, but they will come, you know. Jesus said that we will have tribulation in this world, but take heart, because he has overcome the world. We see this passage, you know, it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and you know, there's probably, you know, a dozen sermons that we could take out of that. And you know, he says therefore, you know, when we see that word therefore, you know, it's come at the end of all that he said before. You know, we see in the even just in this chapter, you know, we see warnings. We see warnings again, and you know, he finishes with a warning. And first of all, you know, he warns us, you know, not to be hypocritical in our judgment. He warns us, or encourages us, to ask and to receive, and knock, and then it should be opened. You know, he warns us to enter via the straight gate, because narrow is the way which leads to life. You know, he warns us of false prophets and those that come in sheep's clothing. You know, all of these things are, you know, they're perils that are to be avoided. And you know, in order to avoid those, we need a degree of wisdom. You know, it says that you'll know them by their fruits. Again, you know, that aspect of discernment that we need to have. You know, you shall know them by their fruits. And you know, there's no shortage of false teachers out there, and you know, it just gets worse by the day. And you know, as you come across on our social media platforms, you know, we see some, you know, crazy thoughts coming. But again, you know, those crazy thoughts, you know, they don't happen in a vacuum. You know, these people come to the false conclusions because basically they're not reading their Bibles. You know, they're easily led by either, well, they're deceived in themselves, but in doing so they deceive others. But again, it says you'll know them by their fruits. And again, you know, the warning, he warns about false converts. He says, you know, men will say in that day, Lord, Lord, you know, have we not prophesied? You know, and this is about the most devastating verse in the Bible. It's frightening, you know, to think that you could, you know, lived all your life and believed that you were born again. And, you know, when we die, you know, and we stand before the Lord, he says, I never knew you. Again, you know, that person's life wasn't built on the rock. It wasn't founded on Christ, and it wasn't founded on his word. Again, you know, that would have to be the epitome of not being wise. Again, you know, within that text, we see that a life built on Christ stands. And again, as I said, you know, Jesus tells us that there will be tribulations and trials in this world. And again, you know, James says, you know, to count it all joy when our faith is tested, and you know, in being tested and remaining joyful, that is a sign that our life built on Christ will indeed stand. And again, you know, the contrast of that and the opposite is that a life built on Christ is not built on Christ is foolish. And you know, when it comes to wisdom and foolishness, you know, we have the book of Proverbs and so many contrasts there. And you know, the description of the fool is one that we definitely don't want to embody, and we don't espouse to be. But the ultimate fate of that the foolish person is that, you know, their life falls apart. You know, so often, and we've probably heard the saying, you know, the person whose Bible is falling apart belongs to someone whose life isn't falling apart. And you know, certainly it's you know, just so important to be reading your Bible. And you know, there's always something to be gained from it. And you know, just for myself personally, You know, every year I try to read the Bible from cover to cover twice. And just recently started back at Genesis, and you know, you're just always encouraged, you know, just how much, you know, is even just in that simple, you know, first book of the Bible, you know, that we get so much out of it in terms of our foundational beliefs, you know. You know, in the beginning, God, you know, everything stems from Him. Everything stems from Him, and you know, without God, you wouldn't even have an existence. But, you know, it's simple, but it's profound. You know, but getting back to wisdom, you know, again, you know, as we're reading our Bibles and looking at, you know, the acquiring of wisdom, again, you know, the book of Proverbs is such a precious book to have and to read. And yeah, again, there's so much in that book of wisdom and warnings as well, you know, against, you know, being like a fool. And I think, you know, the importance of being, you know, a life built on Christ. I mean, we know people in our lives, and we just see them and we shake our heads, and we know that we don't want to be like them. And so for the sake of our own personal witness as well, you know, if we hope to make a difference in this world, you know, we ought to be considering and be mindful and deliberate and purposeful. It's not something that isn't going to happen without a degree of effort. And, you know, if it's only the simple effort of reading our Bibles, you know, for, you know, half an hour to an hour a day, and allow the Lord to do that work in us. Again, you know, as much as there is a deliberate effort on our part, the miracle is that as we read His word, you know, that He is able to change us. You know, the Bible says, you know, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, and enabled you to make those right decisions, to know what the good and perfect will of God is. You know, again, that's another a manifestation of a person whose life is built on Christ and who possesses that wisdom that we ought to have as believers. You know, again, our witness, you know, you know, the people in the world know how we ought to be behaving. You know, they know how we ought to be behaving, and when we don't behave the way they're expecting us to behave, you know, they're the first people to call us out. You know, and there's nothing worse than being called out. It's quite humbling, you know, by a non-believer. But, yeah, again, a life built on Christ stands, and, you know, again, you think of the level of mental illness in this world, and those whose lives aren't built on Christ, you know, their lives are falling apart. It's quite sad. I mean, obviously, even just looking at my newsfeed yesterday, and this young footballer from North Melbourne was only 23, and, you know, you can only presume that his death was a result of suicide. And it's horrendous. And the world doesn't have any answers, you know, to this problem. You know, the world doesn't have any answers, but we do. And you know, I certainly know in my life, you know, that it was before Christ, that it was falling apart. And I dread to think, you know, where I'd be now if it wasn't for Him. You know, a life of hope and despair, you know, belongs to those that don't know the Lord. And, you know, we need to shine that light. You know, that is our purpose in life. You know, again, you know, in being built, we're built for a purpose. You know, we like to say purpose built, and, you know, that is the purpose of being built. It's not an end in itself. Certainly it has benefits in our own lives in terms of decision making, but it doesn't make you immune from the problems and trials of life either. But certainly as we respond the way that God would have us respond, that it is a witness to those around us. And if you're not experiencing any difficulties or problems at the moment, maybe you might need to pray for some. Again, you know, James says, you know, count it all joy. We'll turn to that passage. Next in James chapter 1. Okay, we'll read from chapter 1 and verse 1. Well, actually, we'll read from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, we see that you know, could almost superimpose our text today over the top of that. You know, there's an implication or in our text that we will suffer trials, and that we do need to be wise, and that we do need to have faith. And then at the end of that, in verse 8, it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And again, you know, this is a life that's been tossed around by the wind and the storms of life. you know, and it's only when those trials come that we see how unstable people are, and certainly ourselves. You know, a little bit of pressure will definitely test, you know, our you know, the contents of our heart. I think I've heard, you know, you might have heard it said, you know, if you squeeze a little bit and lemon juice comes out, you know, you don't want that. You want something sweet to exude from us when we're under pressure. And again, we think of the Word of God and the work that it does to build our lives. You know, we know that the Word of God is given by inspiration of God, you know, that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and you know, it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction. You know, and that's part of the process of being built on Christ, that we will be corrected and reproved, if not by our brethren, but certainly by the Word of God. And I think it's probably better that we're corrected by the Word of God directly than by others around us. But again, yeah, you know, we want our life to stand. You know, we want those around us to see that we are standing, and that we have endured those trials. We'll just have a look at in the book of Proverbs and just see what jumps out from the page. We're playing a little bit of Bible roulette here. There you go. It's exposing how much scripture I've memorized. Sorry, Pastor. I probably didn't ask your forgiveness as well. You know, even from the first verse even in the first chapter, you know, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction. This is the purpose of the entire book of Proverbs. You know, to give subtlety, to, which is another word for wisdom, to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. You know, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Again, you know, that's building, they're the building blocks, you know, you're building on wisdom, you know, wisdom upon wisdom. And of course, it all starts with the fear of the Lord, you know, that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. But sadly, we know that the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to his son Rehoboam, and he didn't take heed to his father's instruction, and his life fell apart, and when the time of testing came, he succumbed to pride, and as a result, had the kingdom ripped from him, and it was a divided kingdom after that point. we had the northern tribe, 10 northern tribes of Israel, and the two southern tribes. Again, you know, there are consequences when we don't take heed or to act wisely. And so often it's those around us that suffer the consequences of our poor decisions. Again, that's a tragedy. And, you know, this was a whole nation that suffered because of the poor decision of one man, you know, King Rehoboam. So again, you know, it's with even with that text, you know, the warnings that we have in chapter 7, you know, right throughout the Bible, you know, we're warned that, our actions do have consequences. And I think obviously the blessing that we have is that, you know, that the Lord never leaves nor forsakes us. And, you know, again, it's those that he loves, that he chastens. And it's through that chastening process that you know, we do receive that correction and are able to rebuild our lives, you know, or just to make a course correction, I guess you could say. In terms of our walk with the Lord, you know, his mercies are new every day, and it was the message that I brought last year. Actually, it's quite interesting. I should have been a bit more prepared because I had the first Sunday last year as well. So yeah. Anyway, so I'm not going to say I'm a clairvoyant. You will stone me. Yeah, but you know, again, there's so much, you know, in this passage, and again, it comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and again, you know, there's so much in that, and at the end of it, you know, all the people were standing amazed. You know, they said that, you know, where did he get his authority from? You know, that he taught with someone that has authority. And again, you know, that's a manifestation of wisdom. And, you know, look, you'd certainly like to think that people would ask the same question of you, you know, when they come to you for, you know, to answers, you know, and that's part of being the salt and light of this world. You know, that people will come to you and say, you know, what should I do here? You know, how come your life seems to be, you know, on the right track? Yeah, it says at the end, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And again, you know, quite often, you know, in perverting the word of God, the scribes obviously didn't demonstrate or have that same wisdom. But, you know, Jesus taught straight out of the, you know, well, here's the word, but, you know, he stuck to his word and didn't depart from it. You know, sort of, when I read this passage, I'm quite, you know, taken by even just a single word. It says, you know, great was the fall of it. You know, it's not just a little fall. You know, it said great was the fall of it. You know, and sometimes, you know, the bigger we are or the bigger we think we are, the greater that fall will be too, you know, in terms of, you know, in contrasting to wisdom, sometimes pride is the opposite of wisdom. You know, I think, you know, certainly in the book of Proverbs, pride and folly, you know, go hand in hand. You know, but great was the fall of it. And, you know, again, we rely on the Lord to protect us and to guide us and to prevent us from getting too big in our boots, so to speak. And to avoid those pitfalls and falling into disrepute or into error. Again, looking at some of the ways to build our lives, you know, we look at the Beatitudes, you know, and the lessons that we learnt there recently. We passed and preached through the Beatitudes in terms of in terms of being blessed and having the qualities necessary for that blessing, to be pure of heart, to be peacemakers, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be meek, to be merciful, to know our own spiritual poverty, to be poor in spirit, and not to think, as we read in the book of Revelation, the later decisions, they considered that they were rich and in need of nothing. But the Beatitudes tells us, that we're blessed when we're poor in spirit. And again, the trials at the end, in terms of persecution, in the Beatitudes. And again, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. These are the things that should distinguish us from those around us, in terms of our wisdom and personal witness. But again, our life, in order to be founded on Christ, it needs to be founded on His Word. And in order to be founded on His Word, we need to be reading His Word, and enjoying His Word and loving His Word. It's hopefully, we're not just doing it as a point of just for the sake, just for the sake of doing it. I mean, as you read the Bible, the hope is that you that you come to love the Bible and to love His Word and the blessings that we get from reading it. I think knowing that we have, a perfect Bible in our hands, and that out of this book that God wants to speak to us, certainly should be a motivation in terms of desiring to read the Bible and again, to gain a love for His Word. It's just, again, there's so much. In terms of our sanctification, but also in terms of just being understanding the things that go on around us, we're certainly living in prophetic times, and it's a lot of people say, while on the outside, this world appears to be falling apart, but things are falling into place, and if it wasn't for the Bible, we wouldn't be able to see that. And indeed, we would sort of lose hope and probably, lose hope and be in despair. And in that despair, we would probably make bad decisions and our lives would fall apart. Hopefully, you've gained something out of today's little short message. And, as we enter this new year, I think, again, we can look back at the year that we've had, but also we can look forward to the coming year, and knowing that His mercies are new every day, and again, we wouldn't know that if it wasn't for His Word that we have in our hands. So I just pray and be encouraged, to make a good start this year and the best start that we could possibly make in terms of building our lives. And, the Lord promises in the book of Philippians, He says that He who began a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ, and when we receive our eternal rewards. And those are things that we ought to look forward to as well, to be storing our treasure in heaven. These are all of the results of a life that's built on Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it. We have that promise, and as much as we might get down on ourselves and discouraged, when we do sort of fall away a bit and backslide and all of the things that happen in our lives, be encouraged. That He's not finished with it yet. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time, and We do thank you for your word always, and for the things that we're just able to just glean off the surface, Lord. And even without much preparation, Lord, I just say thank you, Lord, for my brethren, and just pray that they will be encouraged in your word, Lord, throughout this year and this coming year. And Lord, that they would grow, that you would help them to grow and to bear fruit ultimately, Lord, in their lives. That they would be the salt and the light that you desire us to be, Lord. So I just pray that you would be with us in our time of fellowship, and Lord, that we'd be able to have a blessed time of fellowship too, Lord, that you would season our conversations with grace, Lord. We just thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.